Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from our special guest.
So real quickly, I want to introduce Chuck. So Chuck and Anna Marr are with us today. Chuck Marr is someone that we connected with here at Legacy a number of years ago when Chuck and Anna moved down here to Texas from Redding, California. They were actually on staff at Bethel and I guess a commissioning down here into Texas. And became part of a local church body in San Antonio as associate pastors, basically. And now Chuck has got a lot of things in the hopper. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Marr Ministries is his ministry name. He's an author. He's a speaker. Just to read something on his bio that I didn't want to mess it up, so I wanted to read it. Through Chuck's teaching, preaching, and equipping, he helps people understand their identity, walk in their destiny, and transform society through the message and demonstration of the kingdom of God. That statement right there is why it's so easy to connect with a family like the Marr family. And so Jay and Chuck have had a relationship for a number of years, and Cindy and I were blessed to come along and just to get to know Chuck and Anna better over the years, and just even receiving words of prophecy from them at times in leadership meetings, and just being blessed by them overall. Chuck's got a new book coming out in August. The book's name is Kingdom Perspectives, Seeing Yourself, Others, and the World Through the Lens of Heaven. And that's going to come out here this coming August, this next month. Chuck and Anna have three beautiful daughters that are here with us out in our portables, worshiping with our kiddos. They live in San Antonio. And just on a personal note, I think Chuck has one of the warmest, kindest demeanors that I've ever been around in my time in ministry. And he's a businessman, too. This man's a realtor, also. He does a lot of things. And so that kind of personality and that kind of warmth that he brings, whether it's in his message, I can only assume it's probably just as powerful with his clients. Chuck is one of the warmest, kindest people I've ever met. And so real quickly, I want you guys to stand right quick and give a blessing to Chuck Marr as he comes and gives a message.
All right. Amen. You guys doing well? Man, Chris was kind of messing me up there as he was just introducing me and sharing that. But man, it's been a while since I've been with you guys. It's crazy. My wife and I moved here without any kids, before we had kids, 7 years ago to San Antonio. So it's crazy that it's been 7 years. And it's interesting how you can't really plan things like this, but we moved here from Bethel Church, Redding, California. We were both there for almost 7 years, which is kind of crazy. And right at about the 7-year mark, we moved to San Antonio to be part of Kingdom Life San Antonio. And then this April marked 7 years here. And I'm starting to see a little bit of a theme. You know, 7 is often the number of completion, the number of perfection. And we really felt our season kind of shifting, and through a number of circumstances, we ended up no longer being on staff at Kingdom Life San Antonio, and we're now attending our friend's church in Sozo when we're not speaking at another church in San Marcos called Sozo. Joel and Lauren Lowry are good friends of ours, and of course, this house, and so it's just so awesome to be with you guys here. Love, love, love your Pastor Jay, and I know he's not here. He's on sabbatical, but just in case he's watching or watching later, can we just thank Jesus just for Pastor Jay and Kelly and the whole team here? Man, they are the real deal, and I just want to say that you have the real deal, and you know, I'm seeing faces. Like it's so good to see Bill and Karen, our friends, and Jeff and Nicole back here, and their beautiful kids, and Nicole over here. Good to see you, Nicole, and also our friends Adrian and Gabriella are here. And I just want to say this. I didn't know this. I knew they were going to come here to visit, but I married them 1 year ago today. So today's their 1-year anniversary. Why don't you guys stand? Let's just celebrate with them and give them a hand. So, you know, before you leave today, prophesy over them, give them cash, gold watches, cars, whatever you got, whatever you want to do. So just bless them today. And of course, just so love Pastor Chris and Cindy and really just the whole team here. Can we just thank God for them as well? And just really the whole staff here at Legacy. We just love you guys. And Cindy has a book coming out this month. And so she was just explaining just some of what it's about. You're going to want to get that. I think she's already taken pre-orders, and it's going to be awesome. I want to share just a little bit about some resources that we have. I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to come up. Can we just welcome Anna? She comes up. And I know she's going to say this, but I just want to congratulate her publicly. She released a children's book yesterday. So can we just thank God for that? And she has another book here she's going to talk about.
Yeah, so NASA, so the book is called You Were Made to Create. And NASA did a study, and they tested, first they started with five-year-olds, and 98% of five-year-olds tested as creative geniuses. But they did the test again at age 10, and only 30% tested as creative geniuses. They did it again at age 15, and it went down to 12%. And then when they tested adults at age 31, 2% of adults tested as creative geniuses. So that's why I wrote this book, because I think we can go through life, and we get distracted, we fall into comparison, and we forget every single one of us is made in the image of the Creator. Therefore, we are creatives. It looks 100% different on every single one of us, but we can start to compare and we can believe a lie that we're not creative, which is what the enemy's been doing since the garden, right? Is lying to us about our identity. So the point of this book, and grab it for your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your nieces, your nephews, because not because I want to sell a lot of books, I don't really care, but because I feel like this is a solution for our world. Like, we need people to stop fighting on Facebook and get creative and bring some solutions. So anyway, I believe like God's going to minister to you guys as you read this. And he's also, our kids don't, I don't want to see it go from my six-year-olds being creative geniuses all the way down to, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, when they're 31 years old, I want to see their creativity increasing, not decreasing. So I came downstairs the other day and the girls were playing boxcar children. And one of our twins had made a stove out of construction paper. And she was cooking something on this stove. And really, that's how we're all supposed to be, like full of inspiration and creativity. So anyway, that's why I wrote this book. And then this book I actually released 7 years ago, but it's still super relevant today. It's called Embracing Mystery, and it's a 21-day journey of hope, because embracing mystery is wrapped up in our perspective of the Father. So we have two options. We can either fear the unknown or we can embrace mystery. So if you want to embrace mystery and grow in hope, I encourage you just to grab a copy of this. We actually only have a few over there. So anyway, bless you guys. You're such a sweet. I can feel just the warmth and the sweetness of this church. It's my first time being here. So thank you guys for having us, and bless you.
Awesome. Do you want to...
Okay, you do it, and then I'll...
All right, okay. Sounds good. All right, we're going to give a couple of these away. So, you want one? Okay, one of the children's books? If you ask, you will receive. There you go. Awesome. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and those who take it by force. I love that. Amazing. All right, so... this is Anna's book, Embracing Mystery. Who wants this one? Oh, man. Well, they're $10, and they're right over. No, I'm just kidding. No, this lady right back here with the glasses raised her hand. Yeah, you raised your hand first. So here, I'll give that to you. Bless you. She just reminded me that our anniversary is our engagement anniversary was 7/7. So she wanted me to not forget that. So, can I just have all the men stretch their hands toward me for a minute, and just say, "Lord, release grace and mercy in Jesus' name." All right, I'm going to let you know about my book. I only have one copy because this is the proof copy. You know, not that my wife and I are competitive or anything, but like she got a prophetic word from somebody when we were in Reading. A lot of you know who Sean Bowles is. We're in a house of about 20 people. He prophesies a writing gift on her and over both of us, yeah. But she stewarded it a little bit better because she received the word, went home, and wrote the entire outline for her book, and had it, like, the next day she wrote the whole outline and had it released in a matter of months. A year, okay. But I think it was closer to 6 to 8 months. Mine, on the other hand, I started about 8 years ago, and it's finally available. It comes out August 8th, 8-8. I didn't plan that. Double new beginnings, and which really speaks to the season that we're in as well. But this is like Pastor Chris says, kingdom perspective, seeing yourself, others, and the world through the lens of heaven. It's basically a compilation of some of my core life messages that God has worked in me and I hope has worked through me to impact the body of Christ. So it's coming available. Just stay tuned. I got to hang on to this one, but grab that when it comes out. What's that? Yeah, it'll be on Amazon. They'll all be on Amazon, and you're going to want to get those. So I'm going to do something that I've never done in public. I've only like texted this to a few people. I guess I posted it online when I originally got it. But coming into this year, coming into the beginning of the month, Anna and I knew we were stepping into a new season. We're stepping down from the church we were on staff at, and in a lot of ways, not knowing what the next season was going to look like for us. And yes, I have a real estate business. I started that just before COVID hit, thank God, because we were traveling as part of our income, speaking in different churches and events. All of a sudden, travel shuts down, but I got my real estate license, and I start selling some houses, and the Lord's doing that. But when we walked away from our church position, it was a step of faith, even though I had a business, and the Lord just kind of gave me this download of call it a poem, call it spoken word, whatever it is you want to call it, but we have felt just kind of a fresh burst of creativity and really a fresh invitation into the unknown. And if you're in a season of transition, or if you're just in a season of I don't really fully know what's next, but I can feel a shift in my spirit that God is calling me into something new, I'm just going to ask you to receive this. And it's called The Land of Unknown. And it goes like this. Oh, what beauty is ours to behold. We found a childlike faith that's so simple yet profound. Oh, what joy is to be realized in the way that seems the most absurd, but I cannot and I will not deny what I heard. A whisper so tender, clear, and sweet, there's not a fear too fierce that his love won't defeat. A dream that's conceived in his chamber of love, my eyes and my ears he lifts above all the distractions and all of the noise, and I come back to wisdom's still small voice. So there I'll be found, in union with the Son, the glorious one who said it is done. He has conquered my heart with his fiery eyes, and it's only in him that I'm satisfied. So when the waves of the sea beckon me to taste and see who lives in me, when he calls me out unto the waves to discover the power that's in his name, even when he leaves me out into the storm so that trusting him becomes the norm, and when too much safety becomes my enemy and the predictable path is too easy to see, I would rather close my eyes that I might see the land that the eyes of my heart can see, a land of mystery, a city of bliss, a world of ecstasy where I am kissed by my purpose and destiny. So put your hand in the hand of the one who became both God and man, the one who's a lion but is also a lamb. And in him, you'll find yourself starting to stand upon the waves of confusion and opinions of man. And not much unlike Abraham, I believe that you'll start to venture out into a land where his thoughts toward you are more than the sand. So enjoy the journey. It's part of the plan. Step out into that beautiful land, a beautiful land called unknown. So I just want to bless you guys with that. And if there's I just want to pray for anybody that feels like you're in that season of transition. You don't know what's next, but you know your God is calling you into something new. And you don't just think that, you know that. If that's you, I just want you to stand. You're in transition, and you want grace for this season of transition that you're in. Wow. I'm really seeing this and feeling this really everywhere we go. There's just a lot of people are in transition. So just do this. Put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for all of these ones, Lord, who are stepping into the unknown. They don't fully know what's next, but they feel the invitation into the more with you. I pray, Lord, that even right now you would release supernatural grace, you would release supernatural peace. And Father, I pray that you would even release the gift of faith and a fresh excitement, knowing that even when they don't know what it's going to look like, they can trust you completely because you're a really good Father and a really good God. In Jesus' name, I release peace, excitement, hope, and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Yeah, let's just give the Lord a hand one more time. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Starting in verse 12, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And while you're turning there, just to lay a little bit of a context, Moses, the prophet Moses, is leading the people of Israel. He's led them out of Egypt. He's leading them toward the promised land. And they've been seeing miracles, food and their water. How cool is that? Like, they're like, God, we need some food. And God's like, well, I'm just going to cause these birds to just fly really, really low. And you can just kind of knock them out of the sky with sticks and cook them up and eat them. I believe they probably tasted pretty good, even though they complained later, because God provides good things. And, he's like, you want some fresh bread? How about every morning when you wake up, I'll just be fresh, like French bread along the grass. You know, it wasn't really that. It was manna. But he provided fresh bread every morning. And we're seeing God lead Moses and the people of Israel with miracle after miracle. I mean, you want some water? Just strike that rock with your staff and water will start flowing out of that water and you can drink. And they're seeing miracle after miracle, sign after sign. God's provision, his miracles, his breakthrough, his kindness and his goodness. But what I love is what we're going to read in a minute is in the midst of all of this supernatural activity, Moses has an encounter with God on top of the mountain. And that's where I want to pick up is Exodus 33, verse 12. It says this, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And then verse 14, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. By the way, just stop right there for a minute. How many of you know that it's God's presence living in you and resting upon you that sets you apart from everybody else in the world? Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and you know me by name. Verse 18, and then Moses said to God, listen to this, please show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. Everybody say goodness. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Verse 21, and then the Lord said this, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand as I pass by. Stop right there. If you read on, basically after this encounter, God does this very thing. First of all, he takes Moses, he puts him in this cleft of the rock, sticks him in a cave, covers him with his hand, and then it says he caused all of his goodness, which by the way is his glory, to pass over Moses. And if you read on, we discover that after this encounter, Moses comes down off of the mountain. Now keep in mind, this isn't like a cute Bible story, you know, a cool story to read your kids. Like, this happened. Like, Moses, the prophet of God in the Old Testament, has, this is history, comes off of this mountain, and the glory of God is literally so radiant on his face, we find out, that Israel can't even look him in the eye. Not only that, they can't even look at his face. They're like, Moses, we can't even look at you. The glory of God is so strong on you right now. Physically, tangibly, glowing off of you. And it says Moses had to wear a veil just as he came around the people to talk to them. Now that's kind of cool. Like, when's the last time you walked into a grocery store and everyone like just hits the floor just because like you were going in to buy your gluten-free bread? You know what I mean? But this happened. But here's what's crazy. How many of you know that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are partakers of not just a new covenant, but what the book of Hebrews calls a better covenant? Everybody say better covenant. How many of you are thankful that you're part of a better covenant where you don't have to offer sacrifice after sacrifice and follow rule after rule, law after law to make yourself right with God, but you are fully right with God right now, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You are perfect in his sight. I'm going to try this side of the room over here. How many of you are glad that through Jesus, you're perfect in God's sight? Do you guys want another chance? No, I'm just kidding. We're part of a better covenant. Well, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul compares the glory of the old covenant that Moses experienced with the glory of the new covenant that you and I are now partakers of and are under and are a part of. And it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Paul writes this, "But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious," the one we just read about, when Moses was on the mountain, "so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away," listen to this, "how will the ministry of the Spirit, the new covenant, not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation," meaning the law, "had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds," everybody say exceeds, "much more in glory." Like, this isn't just theory. Like, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, the glory that you and I have now been invited into, have access to, and can experience, not just someday in heaven, but right now on earth, as sons and daughters of God, exceeds much more in glory that of the old covenant that Moses experienced. I have a really, really simple message this morning. And what I want to talk about is I want to talk about living a supernatural lifestyle. Because I am convinced that we are getting ready to see the greatest outpouring, awakening, revival, miracles, signs and wonders, and a harvest of souls in America and throughout the world that will eclipse anything that we read about in history. And it's going to come through a people that believe they have access to more. It's going to come through a people that believe that they've been invited into and they have full access through the cross, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the supernatural access to everything that God has for them here and now on planet Earth. I don't know about you, but I am excited for the church right now. I believe we're in the church's greatest hour. I believe that 2020, 21, COVID, all of the craziness is simply because the enemy is terrified of what God is about to release on planet Earth through the body of Christ. Through those that know who they are and whose they are and will dare to step into the greater realities that we've been invited into. You know, in the 1940s, there was a theologian by the name of George Ladd. And George Ladd, taught at Fuller Seminary, and he coined this phrase called kingdom theology. And it's the theology that when Jesus came to earth and he began to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that Jesus brought the kingdom of God to earth. And not only that, but when he died and rose again, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that we, the church, have continued to extend his kingdom on earth. And he had this phrase that went something like this: the kingdom of God is both now and not yet. And it was the now and not yet of the kingdom. Everybody say now but not yet. And what he meant by that is that when Jesus came to the earth, he brought the kingdom of God to earth now, and then it continues to be advanced now through his sons and daughters of God. But it's not yet here in its fullness until the second coming of Jesus, when he comes in all of his glory and he brings a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and earth collide completely, and he establishes a new heaven and a new earth, the fullness of his kingdom. So the kingdom of God is both now and not yet. But here's my concern. My concern is that the majority of the body of Christ has whispered the now and shouted the not yet. Now, I don't know how much of the now we can fully encounter, but I do know this. I know that God is moved by faith. He's moved by childlikeness and just being like kids that are just in wonder over the majesty and the miracles and the awesomeness of God. And I believe that when we humble ourselves to become like children and say, God, I want everything that you have for me, that we paint targets on ourselves for an outpouring and a move of God, that we can actually move God to do things that maybe he wouldn't even do unless we moved his heart. Does that make sense? Like, that blows my mind that we can move God. Like, we can move him. Like, I believe God's in charge. I just don't believe that he's in control of everything that happens. That messes with some people's theology, but that's okay, because I'm leaving in about 45 minutes, and you can talk to Pastor Chris. But let me just frame that a little bit. I believe God is all-knowing. I believe that he's all-powerful. I believe that he is fully in charge. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I also don't believe that he dictates every little decision that we make like puppets on a string, and dictates everything that we'll say and do. He's given us free will. And I believe that when we use our free will to press into, by grace, the fullness of what he's making available to us, we will see some of the greatest expressions of the kingdom on earth, because we're sons and daughters who take him at his word. Everybody say, the kingdom's now. And I want to talk for a few minutes about what it looks like to live a supernatural lifestyle. And man, we're just seeing this happen. Can I share a testimony? I was just at another church in San Antonio in Universal City called New Life Fellowship just a couple weeks ago. Bill and Karen were there. And I'm talking about this whole idea that's stirring in me about being a supernatural people, living a supernatural lifestyle. And I had some words of knowledge for healing. And I had about 7 or 8 words of knowledge that God wanted to heal certain things. And I had people stand, and we had people pray for each other. And we'll do this at the end today. I believe there's going to be miracles. There's going to be healing, that Jesus is going to show up and show off and advance his kingdom in this room today. And so we're doing this, and we saw people get healed. We saw a breakthrough. And then at the very end of the service, this gentleman sitting on this side of the room comes up to me, tears in his eyes, this big, tall, kind of burly guy, and he's crying. And he said, I served in active duty in the military. And in his own words, he said, I've been blown up a couple times. And he's been around explosions. And he said, I've had so many injuries in my body. And I shared words of knowledge like ringing in the ear, like tinnitus, partial deafness, back pain, hip pain, carpal tunnel, all these things. He said, every single condition that you named, I had in my body. He said, but I wouldn't stand because I felt like I was unworthy. And he said, I wouldn't stand. I just kept hearing the words, unworthy, unworthy. How many of you know that the enemy loves to tell sons and daughters of God that they're unworthy? And the enemy is saying, unworthy, unworthy. By the way, there's some people in this room today that the enemy has been telling you are unworthy because of things that you did. And I just prophesy and declare that there is a fresh release of grace and forgiveness, that you're stepping into the realization that not only does God forgive you, but you're going to forgive yourself and be set free in Jesus' name. So he came up to me and he said, I wouldn't stand because I kept hearing unworthy. He said, but every time you named a condition, my wife would nudge me. Thank God for spouses. He like call us out. She would nudge me. And every time she nudged me, that part of my body popped and all the pain went away in that part of my body. Yeah, we can thank Jesus for that. And he walked up to me and said, I have zero pain in my body. Every single thing is fully healed. I've had pain for 13 or 14 years, and it's all gone right now because every time she nudged me, my body popped, and now it's completely healed. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Isn't that awesome? And I said, bro, not only is Jesus showing you that you're worthy to be healed, but you're worthy to receive his love. He loves you. He delights in you through what Jesus did on the cross. And I gave him a hug, got to minister to him. But let's just thank the Lord for that one more time. But here's the deal. Every single one of us are called to live a supernatural lifestyle. I'm just convinced that when we believe the power of the new covenant, that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me, and God rests upon me for everybody around me. And we actually believe every time I go to the grocery store, he's going with me. Listen, in 1 John, it says, as he is, Jesus, so are we in the world. That means everywhere you go, he goes. That means when you walk into a room and shake somebody's hand and smile at them, you can believe your smile's anointed, your hand is anointed, and you can release impartation to every person that you meet because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Like I do this all the time. You know how at church we practice like, we're like, let's stretch our hand toward Gabriella, you know, and we believe we're releasing presence. You know you can do that in the post office and you don't even have to lift your hand. You just walk in. You're buying some stamps. You just look them in the eye and just leak Holy Spirit all over them. They don't know what's happening. But they'll walk away from that like, I don't know what just happened, but I feel different right now. Wow. Like what? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. I'm a conduit of heaven. You're a conduit of heaven. Everywhere you go, he goes. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. Listen to this. And even greater works, he said, because I go to the Father. Because he went to the Father, he got to release the Holy Spirit upon the earth, upon his sons and daughters of God, to empower us to do the greater things. The devil is terrified of you knowing who you are. Because when you know who you are, you'll be his worst nightmare. When you know who you are, you'll walk into a room and demons will fly out of people just because you walked into the room. I love stories of Smith Wigglesworth. He would just walk onto a train, knowing who he is, sit down beside a dude, not say a word, and the person would get so agitated that they'd stand up and say, "You convict me of my sin," and move to the back of the train. Why? Because he carried an atmosphere of heaven. He was living a supernatural lifestyle. Charles Finney would walk into a factory filled with grown men, rough around the edges, don't know Jesus. He would just walk into a factory and they would fall on the floor weeping in repentance because he carried an atmosphere of heaven. When we know who we are and whose we are, we start to realize I carry him with me everywhere we go. And I want to share for the next 3 hours and 45 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to keep you here that long. I want to share for the next few minutes four keys for how we can position ourselves to live a supernatural lifestyle. And the first key that I want to share is this. If we're going to be a people that live a supernatural lifestyle, we need to be a people who are hungry for the manifest presence of God. Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, Like, don't even send us. Like, we're just going to stay back in our tent and play Xbox. Because if your presence doesn't come with us, like, we don't even want to do this thing. His presence sets you apart, and it's his presence that empowers you to do things that you can't do in your own strength. So we need to be a people who are just so hungry for his presence. Like, I got saved in January 1994 in Eastern Canada. I make jokes. My wife grew up Southern Baptist. I grew up crazy church. Like, it's all I've known. I was just, I come from a broken home. My parents divorced when I was a kid. I grew up, you know, having no relationship with my dad, rejection all over me. But God's sovereign hand was on my life, because I remember being 6, 7 years old, going to my mom in tears, saying, how can I know that I'm right with God? Like, freaked her out. She's like, I think only bank robbers and murderers don't go to heaven. You know what I mean? And but I wrestled all through my early teens. By the time I was 16, I said, I just need to know that I know God. And I went to my next door neighbor's house because I'd visited a vineyard church with them in my pursuit of trying to find God. And I talked to their youth pastor on the phone. I would have been an evangelist dream come true, like, to any youth pastor or evangelist. I'm like, hey, John, my name's Chuck. I'm 16 years old. I'm trying to do whatever it takes to go to heaven and just know that I'm right with God. Like, how do I know I'm right with God? He's like, well, and he just began to unpack the gospel to me. Like the Romans wrote in all the scriptures, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. And he just began to share the gospel. And he's like, this is free. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that if you just trust him, you'll be born again and you'll be a son of God. And it's free. You just need to receive it. I'm like, oh, that's why it's called good news. It's free. This is amazing. And I went home. I got born again, January 1994, shortly after my sister got saved. My mom had an encounter with God. But that was the same month. There was this powerful outpouring in Canada called the Toronto Blessing, the Father's Blessing, whatever it is you want to call it. And our church experienced that outpouring. And dramatically impacted by that, we met every night of the week for months, actually, except Monday night, sometimes till 1 in the morning, as God's tangible glory would just fill the room. And I mean, I can tell you story after story. I remember our associate pastor's daughter, who might have been 12 years old, described a full-blown angelic visitation. She saw this angel at the back of the church. She fully described, and you know, she described verbatim a seraphim angelic being as described in the book of Isaiah. And she's just like can hardly talk. She's just staring off, and then she explains this angelic visitation, encounter, vision that she's having. Little kids, we just, you know, parents started bringing sleeping bags for their kids because we'd be there at like 1 in the morning and kids would just be like in their sleeping bags along all the edge of the, along the wall sleeping, and the pastor would have to start flicking the lights to kick us out at like midnight, 1 a.m. And I mean, I can tell you story after story. I can show you spot after spot on the floor where I was just marked by the presence of God. I can also tell you crazy stories. Like one time, I mean, you get hungry in the presence of God. One time, a lady ordered a pizza, and pizza delivery guy came, walked into the church, bodies are everywhere, all over the floor. And he comes to the door, he's like kind of freaked out. He goes, I got a pizza for Mary? And she's like, back here, and he's like stepping over bodies with this pizza. The police showed up one time. It was all glass doors at the front of the church. The police showed up, bodies everywhere. They're shining their flashlights in the window. Someone comes out. They're like, is everybody okay in there? They're like, yeah, it's God. Come on in. He's like, nah, I'm good. And he drives away. But we started to experience this outpouring and this visitation. But my pastor said that in the same way that we can encounter God's presence in this building, you can encounter him in your car, in your bedroom, on your way to work, on your way to school. And I was just so hungry for everything God had for me that I remember I would just get alone in my bedroom and I would put on, do you remember CDs, those little like silver circles that you put? I'm kind of aging myself now. I would put on like an old school Vineyard worship CD and I just put on some worship music. And I mean, I was just so new in the Lord. I just did what I saw my pastor doing. I would see him gently put his hand on somebody and say, come Holy Spirit. And then they'd have a catcher that would catch them if they fell down. Well, I didn't have ministry team or a catcher, so I had to do it all. So I'd just stand in my room. I'd lift my hands like this. And then I'd be the ministry team too. And with my other hand, I would go, come Holy Spirit. Just fill Chuck. And I would just wait. And then he would come. He would fall on me. He would fill me. I would start to feel the weight of his presence. I'd start to fall down, and I'd be like, I guess I'm the catcher too, and I would just kind of let myself down. And then I would just lay on the floor as for hours sometimes, as God's glory would just rest on me, and he would encounter me. That was in the 90s, and I just want to encourage you, during that outpouring, through leaders like John Arnott, Cheon, Heidi Baker, Bill Johnson, you name it, all so marked by this outpouring. And through this move, many of them launched into the ministry that you know today. So many of them had this word from the Lord that said, many of you think that this outpouring is the final move of my spirit that's going to usher in the second coming. My coming to earth. But I want you to know that this is just the first wave. And it's actually going to seem to kind of simmer and die down again, or die down, but there's going to be a second wave that's going to be so much greater, going to be so much more powerful, that it's going to eclipse the first wave, and it will usher in millions and billions of souls into the kingdom of God. And I want to prophesy and declare, we are stepping into that hour. I believe there's going to be another wave. And listen, we're not just going to be immersed in it. I believe we get to ride it, and we get to be used of God to be supernatural people that bring in a harvest of souls. But listen, to be a people that catch this next wave, we need to hunger for his presence. And let me just tell you something. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves, it makes you uncomfortable. Jesus promised the Comforter, but he never promised you'd be comfortable. And I believe one of the reasons we need the Comforter is because sometimes the Holy Spirit makes us uncomfortable. And I want to warn us as well, let's not have a preconceived idea of what the next move is going to look like. Because God will often move in a different way, and it's oftentimes the leaders of a previous move that persecute the next move because it looks different. We can't put God in a box. He'll never contradict his word, but he will contradict your understanding of him. Yeah. See, sometimes what we think we know keeps us from what we need to know. And sometimes God will actually offend our minds in order to reveal our hearts. He'll never contradict his word, but he will push us out of our comfort zone in order to step into the more that he has for us. And I think sometimes he's like, how bad do you want me to move in the fullness of how I want to come? And if we say, I want everything that you have for me, God, I am hungry for you, and we just be a people that come before him with childlike faith, childlike awe and wonder, and say, God, I just want everything that you have for me. I want to be a person that's hungry for your presence. So I want to encourage you, just begin to cultivate a hunger for the presence of God. Spend time in your bedroom. Spend time in your car. Just whether it's praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, and just enjoying his presence. Getting into the Word with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I love the Bible more than I've ever loved the Bible. And I just love getting alone with God and taking Scripture and reading it with Holy Spirit. And saying, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd come breathe on your Word. Just come and speak to me through Scripture. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know you more, Ephesians 1:17, and invite him to come. And I like to ask God this, God, what book of the Bible are you breathing on for me in this season? And I might just feel, I don't hear this audible voice, Chuck, I want you to read Proverbs, you know? Thank you, Father. No, it's like, I'll just feel a little stirring, a little desire. Oh man, I really want to get into Psalms right now. I'll take that as the leading of God. And every day I'll just be in Psalms with an expectation that he's going to speak to me, with an expectation that he's going to give me fresh revelation. They're going to encounter his presence through his word. And just lift your hands up to heaven right now. Father, I just pray right now over every person that's part of Legacy Church and every person that might be visiting, that you would release the gift of hunger for more of your presence. Lord, we say if your presence doesn't go with us, don't even send us. But we know you want to mark us with your presence. So even now, I pray that you would fill us with a childlike expectation and a supernatural hunger for more of you. In your own way, just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm thankful for everything you've done, but I know there's more. I'm hungry for more. And Lord, I pray that you would release that all over the room. Some of you are feeling a fresh hunger stirring in you right now, and I believe that you're going to leave this morning marked with a fresh desire for fresh encounters with him. In Jesus' name, and I bless you with that. Amen. Amen. The second key that I want to share is this. I'm going to move right along. We need to be a people who hunger for his presence. Second key is this. We need to be a people who believe in his goodness. Everybody say goodness. Listen, when Moses said, when Moses said, God, show me your glory, God said, okay, I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass before you. See, God's glory is equal to his goodness. His glory is his nature on display, and God is entirely good all of the time. So to be a people who are supernatural, we need to have expectation attached to his nature. What do I mean by that? When you believe God is outrageously good, you'll expect good things to happen. It's really easy. Here's some theology 101. God, good. Devil, bad. Sickness, bad. Hope and encouragement, good. Healing, good. Depression, bad. Oppression, bad. Confusion, bad. See, he said, I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass before you. There's a reformation in the body of Christ today as it pertains to the goodness of God. And I believe God is screaming to the church and to a generation, taste and see how good I am. And of course, we see the fullness of God's goodness displayed in the person of Jesus, don't we? Nicole was just talking to me about John 14. And remember John 14, Philip came up to Jesus and he said this. He said, Jesus, we've been with you and we've been seeing miracles. We're seeing you do cool stuff. But when are you going to show us the Father? Jesus goes, Philip, have you been with me this long and you don't understand that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Jesus is like, you want to know what God's like? Just look at me. I heal everybody who comes to me. I don't turn somebody away and be like, I know I healed these people, but I'm gonna let you keep your sickness because it's teaching you perseverance and humility. Like, Jesus never did that, but yet we create theologies sometimes to justify our lack of experience instead of allowing our experience to catch up with the word of God. That's why when we pray for the sick, we don't say, God, if it's your will. Because as soon as you said, God, if it's your will, you've entered that prayer with double-mindedness. Because you're not sure if God actually even wants to heal them. But see, God wants them healed even more than you want them healed. Why do some people not get healed? I don't know. And I actually don't feel responsible to have all the answers. I'm just responsible to believe truth. So if somebody doesn't get healed, I don't get shameful and condemned. I just go back to God and be like, God, I don't know why they didn't get healed, but I believe that you're good. And I'm just going to keep pressing into your presence. I'm going to keep praying for the sick. And I'm going to keep believing that your goodness is going to manifest. And I believe the more we have our minds renewed with the reality that he's good, the more breakthrough that we'll see. In Hebrews, talking about Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So again, you want to know what God's like? Just look at the life of Jesus. Let him be your model. Again, does that mean every single person we pray for gets healed? No, but I think that we should expect it. And I believe we're going to get to the point where we're actually surprised when somebody doesn't get healed. Like, the people that are walking in a real strong revelation that God's entirely good, he healed all who came to him, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, lives inside of them. The more people I see walk in that revelation, the more I see them actually see people healed by mistake. It's that revelation that caused Peter's shadow to heal the sick. Peter didn't even have a prayer line. He's just chilling. And people are getting healed when they get close to him. Now, it wasn't his shadow like this, like where if my shadow just gets on it, you need the sun to be just right, you know? I believe it was the overshadowing presence, this sphere of authority that he carried, and people would just get close to him and get healed. I have a friend who used to be in Reading, Chris Gore. He moved back to New Zealand. He has this story. Chris walks in such a revelation of the goodness of God, that he's the righteousness of God, that everywhere he goes, Jesus goes. He walked into Trader Joe's in Reading, California to buy a salad. He eats real healthy. Saw this chicken salad. It's the last one like that. He picked it up, and then he said, oh, that's not the one I want. And he put it down, and got a different salad. What he didn't know is there's a student, a female behind him, who saw him pick up the chicken salad and was like, dang, I wanted that one as the last one. Then she saw him put it back and she's like, yes. So she goes and she gets the salad. Now this girl had these female issues where she couldn't have her period, and therefore the doctor said she couldn't have kids someday. But she picks up this salad, she's instantly healed, and she knew she was instantly healed, if you know what I mean. Chris wasn't even praying for her. He didn't even know she was there. He just touched a salad, and he carries an atmosphere of heaven. Like, when we get a revelation of who we are and whose we are, man, we'll see people healed by mistake. We'll just stand next to people. One time, Ann and I were in Australia years ago. We were traveling, representing Bethel, and we're speaking at this little church in Armidale, Australia. And I'm like, I'm teaching on healing, I think. And I'm just as an example, I was like, you know, and you can go up to somebody and be like, be healed in Jesus' name. And I'm just like, kind of tap this person like this. And what I didn't know is this person had an injury in their Achilles tendon. And the moment I touched them, the presence of God hit them. They felt the presence of God go through their Achilles tendon, and they're instantly healed right there. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I just think God just likes to play with us. I think it's easier. See, in the kingdom, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants to have fun with his kids. Like, when we just believe in his goodness, like, it's not about how long we pray, how loud we are, whether we fasted yesterday or not. I'm not against fasting. I'm pro-fasting. I'm just not very good at it, so you can pray for me. But I believe when we believe in his goodness, you'll lay hands on somebody and say watermelon and they'll be healed. Because it's not about your methodology or how long you pray, or, you know, how holy you were that week. Listen, holiness is important. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But what I'm saying is, when we start to trust him and believe how good he is, we start to experience him do all the heavy lifting, and we just get to play a part. It's like he's lifting the weight, and we just have our hands under the bar pretending it's us. See, when you attach expectation to his nature, and that he's incredibly good all of the time. That's why, I'm going to activate you guys to pray for each other in a minute. That's why when you pray for each other, I want to encourage you, don't be like, God, please. See, don't beg God to heal somebody, because then you're assuming you actually have more compassion than he does. What if you just attach faith to his nature and be like, Lord, thank you so much that you're the healer, and that you want to heal them in Jesus' name. And I like to encourage people to practice short prayers, because then you're not trusting the length of your prayer or doing everything right. You're just starting to trust his goodness. Does that make sense? So we need to believe in his goodness. The third key that I want to share is this, and we're going to move along. I'm going to move quickly. We need to talk of his power. Everybody say, talk of his power. See, this is the power of the testimony. We need to focus more on what God is doing or what he has done than we do on what it seems like he's not doing or what the enemy's doing. Psalm 37:3 says this, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. How do you feed on God's faithfulness? By remembering and celebrating all the times that he was faithful in the past. Feeding on testimonies. This is a house that shares testimonies all the time. That's what I love about this house. I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm doing what, like the writer of Hebrews said, I'm here to spur you guys on to love and good works. I'm here to stir you up to love and good works. And I want to remind you and encourage you, remember the power of the testimony. Like, if you want to see people healed of cancer, celebrate the testimony when somebody's healed of a headache. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Celebrate those things. Talk about them. Share them. If you're feeling discouraged or you're praying for a miracle for somebody in your family, go online and just read testimonies of other people being healed. Listen to people share testimonies. That's why I love sharing the testimony of what happened a couple weeks ago, because it stirs faith in the room. But not only that, it encourages you. But not only that, but the Hebrew root word for the word testimony literally means to do it again. So when we share a testimony, we're prophesying into the atmosphere, God wants to do it again. And I believe angels, like it says in Psalms, angels move at his word to perform it. That's why sometimes we'll share testimonies of certain physical healings, and the same physical healings will just start to break out as people hear the testimony and claim it for themselves. That's why sharing testimonies is so important. And it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we need to focus more on what God is doing than what it seems like he's not doing. Does that make sense? There's power in the testimony. We need to talk of his power. Every time you get together, this is one of the things that I love about your pastor, Jay, is every time we get lunch or coffee, he's just talking about what God's doing. Man, last week, this person got healed of this. God's doing this. He's not in denial of bad things that are happening. No, he's feeding on God's faithfulness, and he's putting before him the primary focus is what God is doing rather than what it seems like he's not doing. Does that make sense? You know, a friend of mine in in New Hampshire, started an online news outlet called Good News, or Positive News for Today. And all it is good news from all over the country, feeding on the good things that are happening rather than the bad things. So there's power in the testimony. Everybody say, talk of his power. And this is the last key that I want to share, and I'll finish with this. If we're going to be supernatural, we need to be a people who aren't afraid to step out, take risks, and release his love. Say, release his love. Chapter 10, verse 7 says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. This is just where the rubber meets the road. It's where we make ourselves available to God to use us everywhere we go. I just try to practice this. If I go in to buy a coffee, if I get a word of knowledge, I'll ask the barista if she has pain in her body. I'll pray for her then and there. Just in the, as we're out walking in our neighborhood, I'll see somebody limping. I'll ask if I can pray for them. This is just a lifestyle of giving God something to work with and stepping out and letting him move you. Can I share one or two testimonies and I'll wrap up with this? I was in Australia with Steve Backlund, actually. And I'm traveling with Steve Backlund from Bethel Church. And we're in Australia, and we're ministering in this town called Byron Bay. And it's the most eastern tip of mainland Australia. And it was Schoolies Week in Australia, which means there's summer break. So there's college students, young adults everywhere, in and out of the bars, restaurants. We did a Friday night service. When we left, I went to a coffee shop with some of the students that were traveling with us and some of the team from the church. And we're sitting in this coffee shop, having our cappuccinos. We're getting ready to go home. But I'm just feeling stirred, like, I'm just feeling like I don't want to go home. Like, we need to go out and, like, get in trouble for Jesus somewhere. Like, we had a great meeting in the church. Let's go give it away somewhere. So, because how many of you know it's great to have his presence in here, but we have to take it out there. In Ezekiel, we read about the river flowing from the temple, and the further it got from the temple, Ezekiel, I think it's 47, something like that, the further the river got from the temple, the deeper the waters got. I believe some of the greatest miracles are going to happen when we're not afraid to take it outside of the church. So I said, before we go home, can we just go walk around a little bit, see what happens? Our host is like, sure. We're walking down the street. I see this group of young adults in front of this bar, and I just stopped. I didn't have a word of knowledge. I didn't have anything. I just stopped and said, hey. They looked at me. I said, we're a group from California, and I said, I'll get their attention. I said, we're a group from California, and when we pray for people, we see miracles. And then I just let the awkward silence just kind of sit there for a minute. And then I said, do any of you have pain in your body? Just see, God will honor boldness. God will honor risk and faith, taking a step and giving him something to work with. I said, do any of you have pain in your body? And they just looked at me. And one of the young men said, he does. He's been complaining about his back all day. His name was Nick. He said, Nick has back pain. I said, you have back pain? He said, yeah. And one of the young men goes, I'm a Christian. I go, awesome, you're going to pray for his back then. I'm like, I'm just going to activate them at the same time. So I said, okay, put your hand, and they're all watching. I said, put your hand on Nick's back. He puts his hand there. And I said, repeat after me, kingdom of God come. He goes, kingdom of God come. All pain go. All pain go. Be healed in Jesus' name. He goes, be healed in Jesus' name. And I said, okay, Nick, try to do something you couldn't do before. He bends over. He touches his toes. He straightens back up. His eyes are really big, and he drops the F-bomb. I'm just telling you what things happen out there. This happens when people get healed. A good indication they actually got healed is they cuss because they're so shocked. And he goes, holy blank. He said, I haven't been able to touch my toes since I was 12 years old and all the pain's completely gone right now. Let's just thank Jesus for that. And now Nick's an evangelist. He's not saved yet, but he's an evangelist. And he's stopping everybody that walks by to tell them that his back just got healed. Come meet my friends who just healed my back. Come meet my... And now he's kind of gathering a small crowd, and we just start prophesying over some of them. By the way, I encourage you to go to Cindy's class on being activated in the prophetic and processing the prophetic. It's just so key in this hour. And we just start prophesying over them and calling out the gold. I'm like, you know, you're like the mother of this group. You're always looking after these ones and making sure that they're okay, huh? And they're all like, that's totally you. And we're prophesying over them. They're confirming it. And then I shared a simple gospel message. I said, how many of you who just saw Nick's back get healed, saw the Lord speak really good, encouraging things into your hearts, how many of you want to ask the same Jesus who just did all that to come live inside of you right now? I said, we can pray and ask him to do that right now. They're like, can we hold hands while we pray? I said, absolutely. So we're in front of this bar, a circle of young adults holding hands. They're praying, asking Jesus to forgive them for their sins, come live inside of them, and fill them with his spirit. Let's just thank Jesus just for a breakthrough when we take steps. And then it's like the lead, kind of the spoke, actually Nick, who got healed, kept like texting our friend Mark, who is our host, you guys are amazing. Can I come to church this Sunday? I can't believe what Jesus did for my back. I don't know if he's ever been to church before. Like, Australia is super unchurched. I mean, there's Bible Belt areas, like where Hillsong is, but for the majority, Australia is very, very, very unchurched culture. And now he's like, wants to come to church because he had an encounter with Jesus, and they prayed for Jesus to come live inside of them. Listen, guys, God is raising up the church to be a supernatural people. That everywhere we go, he goes. That we get to put his power and his love on display. So just in closing, I just want to summarize. To be a supernatural people, we need a people who are hungry for his presence. Cultivate a lifestyle saying, God, I want more of you. Soaking in his presence, worshiping in our car, asking him to fill us. We need to be a people who believe in his goodness, that we actually believe that when we pray and step out, he's going to back us up and show up because he loves them infinitely more than we could ever imagine. Thirdly, that we're a people that talk of his power. We celebrate the testimony. We focus more on what he's doing than it seems like what he's not doing. And lastly, we're a people that release his love. We live a lifestyle of stepping out. Because the day of the one-man show, of it just being pastors that do this stuff, is over. See, the job of church leaders are simply to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, that we all release this everywhere we go. So if you want that, let's just lift your hands up like this. Father, I pray for every person that's in this room that you would release just a fresh grace, a fresh hunger, and a fresh activation, that we would be a supernatural people that release your power, your love, and your goodness everywhere we go. I pray that this week we would hear testimonies of people stepping out to release your kingdom and seeing people encounter you, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said, amen, amen. There's a couple people I want to pray for. And I don't know if we can have one of the musicians come up, maybe the keyboard or a guitar or something, just as we close. That would be awesome. By the way, do you appreciate the worship team, Cindy and the team? Few people that I want to pray for. I felt like God was touching somebody that has pain in their right knee. On my way here, I felt like he was healing somebody with right knee pain. Anyone here with pain in your right knee, if that's you, just stand where you are. Okay, can you stand, sir? We're going to have all of you stand that have any of these issues. If any of these apply to you, just quickly stand where you are. I felt like God is healing somebody's it's right shoulder pain. It could be a rotator cuff issue. It's pain in your shoulder. If that's you, can you stand? Somebody with pain in, I don't know if it's carpal tunnel. Actually, I didn't even see that earlier, but I felt pain come right up here. Is it your wrist or does it also go into your arm? That's you? Oh, that's your thumb. Yeah, that's where I felt it. Right up, not even just the wrist, but right through the arm right there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You're amazing, Jesus. God's healing lower back pain. It's lower back pain, I think kind of on the right side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's ear, I think it's the right ear, it's tinnitus, like ringing, or it could even be partial deafness, but somebody's right ear, an issue with the right ear. Who is that? Could be, if it's the left ear, that's okay. You can stand too. Okay, anybody with any issue with your ear? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's just wait on the Lord just for a minute. We love you, Lord. You're amazing. Whoa. Thanks for what you're doing, Father. Lord, let your presence just rest on all these ones that are standing, Lord. Thank you that you're good. Lord, let your presence just rest on all of them right now. Just stay in that place. Just those that are standing, just be aware of his presence. There's people here who have been having migraine headaches, and God's healing those. If that's you, just stand up. Migraine headaches. And you want those to go, just stand where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's just all just be aware. Those that are standing and those that are sitting down, just be aware of his presence. Just fix your affections on him. Lord, we just say that we love you. We worship you. We give you praise and we give you honor. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want to heal these people even more than we want to see them healed. So I pray that you would just rest on them right now. In the name of Jesus. Some of you are feeling like a heat or like a tingling in that part of your body right now. I just bless what he's doing right now. My friend with the Dallas Cowboys shirt and the long hair, yeah, you're feeling his presence on you right now. Wow, aren't you? And he's touching that part of your body right now without anybody even putting a hand on you. He's just showing you how good he is. Lord, touch him right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 I thank you for what you're doing, God. God's also just restoring all those years of hurt. Just the past, there's things that happened the past few years. I feel like the Lord's saying he's restoring the years that the locusts have eaten, and he's making all things new, all things new. He's bringing full restoration. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right, those that stood, just before anybody even prays for you, try to do something you couldn't do before. Like, just test your body out and see if the pain's already gone. Because sometimes the Lord will heal before anybody even puts a hand on you. Yeah, try to do something you couldn't do. As you try to do something you couldn't do, how many of you, the pain's already gone? Just wave at me if the pain's already gone. Right here, right here, right here. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. All right. The rest of you, just stay standing just for a minute. We're going to move quickly. The rest of you, if you're not standing, I want you to look around. Find somebody who's standing, and I want you to just stand beside them. Those that are standing for prayer, raise your hand until somebody's with you. Just raise your hand quickly and keep it up until somebody is standing beside you. And once somebody's standing beside you, put your hand down. As soon as somebody's standing beside you to pray for you, standing for what it is they're getting prayer for. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. You're amazing. Okay, don't talk too long about it. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Those that are there to pray, I want you to just, if it's appropriate, just put your hand, actually, just put your hand on their shoulder. Just put your hand on their shoulder, no matter what it is they're standing for. Okay? And what I want you to do, remember, don't pray quite yet. I don't want you to pray loud, drawn out Old Testament prayers. I want you to pray quick, believing prayers. I want you to thank the Lord for what he's doing. Say something along the lines of, Lord, thank you for your healing. Thank you for what you're doing in their body. Just say that out loud. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for healing their body. Say, kingdom of God come, all pain go. In Jesus' name. If it's their ear, say ear open. If it's ringing, say ringing stop. I take authority in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I release my goodness over them. Kingdom of God come. Make all things new. Make all things right in their body. In Jesus' name. Those that are getting prayer, just begin to thank the Lord for what he's doing. Just say, Lord, thanks for my healing. Thanks for your goodness. Thanks that you're touching me. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. We love you and we worship you, King Jesus. Those that are getting prayer, start to move your body around. Try to do something you couldn't do. Move your shoulder, move your back, whatever it is. Test it out and see if there's any improvement. Okay, wave at me if right now all the pain's gone as you test it out. Wave at me if the pain's gone. Wave at me. Okay, right back here. Let's thank the Lord for that. Right back here, right over here, right over here. Anybody else, just wave at me if the pain has gone right here. Hallelujah. Okay, now wave at me if it's 85, even if you just waved, wave at me if it's like 80% better or more. Wave at me if it's 80% better or more, everybody. All right, let's just thank Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Come on. Okay. Those that are fully healed, all the pain's totally gone. We want to hear some testimonies real quick. Everybody else, you can be seated. Those that receive full healing, come on up here quickly. We want to celebrate some testimonies. Come on up here if all the pain's gone. We want to hear what Jesus did. Yeah, come on up. Anyone that got prayer and all the pain's gone, come on, let's just thank the Lord for them as they're coming up. All right, let's just hear what Jesus did here. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Carly. It's my first Sunday, so hey.
Come on, this is a good first Sunday. All right, what was wrong, Carly?
I was in a car accident in 2003, and I had my foot up on the dash. Don't ever do that. And we got rear-ended, and so it just threw me off. So she just prayed, and everybody just prayed.
So how long have you had pain for?
Off and on, each pregnancy, it kind of got worse because they sit in your hips. Kids do that, so a long time, yeah.
So, and how, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, how bad was the pain this morning?
Bad. Couldn't cross. You know, women, we sit like this, so, yeah.
And then when they prayed, what happened?
I honestly felt a heavy pressure, not like warm and tingly, but like almost like when you do go to the chiropractor and they yank you. So, yeah.
So God gave you an adjustment.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Oh, thank you.
That's awesome. Let's just thank, and all the pain's gone. She has no pain. Let's just thank Jesus for that. Thank you. Thank you.
It just, I felt like.
First of all, what was wrong?
It was just tenderness in my lower back. My back was like hurting. It was like lasting for a week. And it just, I thank God for healing me.
And is there any pain there now?
No.
Come on, let's celebrate with him. So good.
So grateful. I did something to my knee, don't know, but it was awful, awful. Couldn't bend it. Last Sunday, Suk and another woman in our congregation prayed for me, and within 5 minutes, I could start moving it. But I still had pain with rotation, and today, when we prayed, all pain is gone, and I have full healing. Thank you.
Come on, so good. Anybody else, your pain's 100% gone, you just didn't come up. We just want to, if so, we would just love to celebrate with you, because I know more hands went up than came up. Okay. Okay, let's hear what happened. How long did you have pain?
I've been having pain for about 3.5 months, and I was in a brace. And the first week that I got off the brace, I ended up doing this when I fell. But my knee started acting up again just this last couple days because I've been walking around the streets doing a lot of Jesus work. And it just started acting up again last night. And so this morning, I felt it wanting to lock up again in the rotation, but that's gone now.
Come on, Jesus. It's amazing. I want to encourage you guys to, like, Sometimes miracles are instant. Healing can be progressive. Jesus ministered to two lepers, and it says as they went, they were healed. So some of you, as you go, you're going to be healed. Those that received partial healing, just keep thanking Jesus for it. Sometimes it's progressive. Let's believe him for that. And even if I didn't mention a condition and you would love healing for that condition, say, Jesus, I receive healing for that, and just claim it. Believe that in his presence you can be healed. And I just want to say bless you guys. Thank you so much for letting me be with y'all. Be bold, be courageous, and let's leave today as supernatural people that release heaven everywhere we go. So God bless you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.